This morning, when you heard Holiness Unto the Lord being played by the musicians, and then the next song, did you recognize that next song? Good. It says, may Jesus Christ be praised. And it starts like this. When morning gilds the skies. Sometimes when you wake up, you just want to praise the Lord. I hope that's every morning. But you have this great feeling, you know, like, oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I have a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. Because God has just made it so beautiful, the weather. It's now I feel a little humidity in the air, but yesterday so dry and this morning so beautiful. And you just want to say, thank you, Lord. Oh, the glory of God that we see around us here. May Jesus Christ be praised. So that song said, when morning gilds the skies, my heart awaking cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. Alike at work and prayer to Jesus, or alike at work or prayer to Jesus I repair, may Jesus Christ be praised. Your heart just goes out to him. Just there's an automatic and evident, clear response in you. And sometimes it does have to do with that delightful, cool climate that you feel. Sometimes in New York, we have New York City. We've had it up here this year too, but we have a real siege of humid weather, just soupy. Oh, it's terrible. Even if it doesn't go over 95 or 90, it just feels so awful. It's just, when is this going to end? And then you know it's going to, but you just don't know how long it's going to be. And sometimes when it's long, you know, when it's 8 or 9 days, and then some storm just comes through, and the next morning you get up and you look outside and it's like 65 degrees or 60 or even better, 55. And blue sky and dry air. Okay, if you've ever experienced that, you know what I mean. But that beautiful morning just evokes this just response of joy and comfort. And Lord, thank you. You gave us relief. Now, all that to say this, that the Apostle Paul, this was what I'm about to say is something higher than that, of course. This is going by feelings and by what we see, by our senses. But here's the Apostle Paul, and he has a response in his heart that is just so magnificent. But it's a response to thinking about the salvation of God in Christ. At the end of Romans 11, he bursts forth. That's really what it is. He bursts forth into a doxology, just a praise song that is outstanding, one of the greatest praise songs in the Bible. And he has been, all the way through Romans 1 through 11, he's been considering the great salvation that we have in Christ. And then here at the end, he comes to this, at the end of the 11th chapter, he comes to this thought that God's wisdom is just so incredibly deep and great. Well, of course, God is all wise. And who could possibly have ever conceived of a way of salvation like this, where God wants to have mercy on people who have offended his holiness and rebelled against his love, his kindness to them, and gone their own way? He wants to have mercy, so he includes them all. in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon them all. So everyone who will turn to him can receive mercy and grace and come into fellowship with God and receive the gift of eternal life. And Paul just can't contain himself when he thinks about this and where his thoughts, I'm sure Holy Spirit directed meditations, have led him. And he just stops in the last few verses of this 11th chapter. I just want to look at them with you. Romans 11:33, the last four verses. This is what Paul says. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Romans 11:33. Have we all found that? Are we looking at it? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. What a tremendous doxology this is. God's ways are past finding out, and yet Susan said that God instructs us and teaches us in his ways. That's a way that he stoops to us in our need. We're blind and foolish in ourselves, and yet he gives us light and guidance that we might walk in his ways. But Paul says God has revealed these wonderful things of his salvation. And as we begin to think about them, we recognize that no one could possibly have invented such a thing. No one could possibly ever have suggested such a thing. It wouldn't have entered our minds. Even the brightest of us, the best and the brightest, wouldn't have thought of something like this. Oh, how I wish this could stir all of our hearts. Not just our minds, but our hearts. As Paul's heart was stirred when he thought of God's salvation. God's salvation, remember we said the other day, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I said, sometimes I think the Christian people say in their hearts, let the redeemed of the Lord say, so what? You know, it's like it's nothing. It means nothing to them. This should stir the hearts, and it will if we're alive unto God. It will stir our hearts as we think of what Jesus has done for us and how he made this way of salvation. Oh, the love, only divine love. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. And so my prayer is that God will touch our hearts in these days. Our minds, yes, and our hearts, that they may be stirred by the love of Jesus, by the salvation of God. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? You know, our leaders, even the best and the brightest of our leaders, surround themselves with advisors. Why is that? Why, even a little place like this has a board of I guess you could call them advisors. They pull together on the camp board a group of people, men and women, that they feel will be helpful in making the decisions that that will be in line with the purposes and the goals of the camp as we feel that God has led us. But, you know, on that board, you have to have people, for instance, that know something about fixing things. So that's not why they chose me. Or building things. They chose an engineer and someone else who's good with that, right? So you have advisors, and the idea is that when they come together and there are a few of them there, it won't be just one person's thoughts, which could, you know, lead astray. So it's always good to have a few. Have some who will give ideas. It so happens that there is a group, and that each one of this group also has the people that know they're on the board and come and say, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? And you can have 1,000 ideas in a season, you know? And you filter those things and you say, that sounds like a good one. Maybe you have one or two. You bring it to the meeting. You kind of share it. You, if it's real good, you don't let anybody know that you got it from somebody else. But anyway, we come together, right? Well, this says God doesn't need any of that. He needs none of that. No one can even get close to his mind. Who has been his counselor? He knows all things. He knows what you are thinking right now that I couldn't know. He knows what you're going to be thinking. Think about it. Speaks in the Gospels what they call contingent knowledge. Jesus says, woe unto you, Capernaum, if the mighty works that had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Okay, I mean, woe unto you, if the mighty works had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. Okay, that means that God doesn't only know what you did that no one else knows, what you think that no one else knows, but what you would have done had you faced a different set of circumstances. He knows that too. So, I mean, just to think that about God, I mean, that is, who said that last night? It blew my mind. Yeah, that takes you into a totally different realm. God knows what you would have done if you were placed in her situation or his. He knows what you would have done, how you would have handled things. He knows how, I mean, okay, I can stop there. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Nobody's. Nobody. And then, who has given to God, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. The idea being that you cannot place God in your debt. No one has ever given anything to God that God should repay him. No one. Why? Because from him and through him and to him are all things. Everything comes from him. Everything goes to him. He is the source. He is the fountain of everything. Everything, everything comes from him. And to him then. Of him, meaning from him, through him, and to him are all things. So to him be all the glory. It's a tremendous song of praise. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We call that the doxology. And it's similar. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. What a song of praise this doxology is. And it comes at the end of Paul's meditations on God's plan of salvation. He planned to redeem people who were in bondage, set them free from slavery of servitude to sin and self, and make them his servants. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom. I'm going to read it one more time. And knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So the greatest discoveries are to be made in the spiritual realm. The greatest responses should come from meditating upon God and his plan as we find it described to us, outlined for us in his word. Oh, what riches we have in God's word. And oh, that we might pay attention to it. We talked about the promises. We also have the commands. We have the revelation of God in this book. What a treasure we have. What a treasure. We can know Jesus from this wonderful book that he has given to us, the Bible, the scriptures that teach us his mind and reveal to us his love and his plan. Now just a little paradox in closing. Who has ever given to God? You see that in verse 35. Who has ever given to God? Now go down to the first verse of the 12th chapter. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Strange, right? I can't give God anything, Paul says in his song, and then he says, give yourselves to God. Give yourselves wholly and completely to God. Give your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable, that means pleasing to him. This is the way you worship him. You give it all. You pour it all out. You bow down before him. You offer your everything to him. I beseech you, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God. We've been talking about his mercies. Now I urge you, in view of his mercies, to present yourselves to him. Give to him. He's given to you. You give to him. All that you have, all we sing, all that I am and have, thy gift so free. There's nothing that I have that doesn't come from him. Therefore, it all belongs to him. Give it to him, Paul says. I urge you. I urge you. Just want to lay this among us this morning. We're going to take it further, I believe, another time. But I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. This is your worship. This is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's as far as we'll go. These are words that I suppose many of you have learned by heart. God's call to us to yield ourselves, present ourselves to him as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to him, not conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when your mind is renewed, you prove that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. That was in our reading this morning, that we won't really know the blessings and the joy involved in serving Jesus wholeheartedly until we give ourselves wholeheartedly to him. He doesn't show us ahead of time the blessings, the joys that he has for us as we serve him. But when we come to him and offer ourselves, then we begin to experience it. Who is willing, therefore, was the close of the reading, to consecrate his service this day to the Lord? God has wonderful blessings for all of his faithful servants. And he doesn't promise us an easy way, but he promises us abundance of grace. He promises us glory here and hereafter as we give ourselves to him. Do not be conformed to this world. What does that mean? Quickly. I would say it means to the pattern, as it said in the NIV. It means, men shall be lovers of their own selves. That characterizes our age. We're self-seeking, naturally speaking. Self-seeking. Men love themselves, and they love money, things that are passing, and they love pleasure more than they love God. The Apostle Paul said, I think that wraps it up or explains it pretty nicely, what it means to be conformed to this world, seeking the things that are my own, wanting things that are passing away, and loving pleasure more than loving God. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what true blessing really is. The will of God is good and acceptable and perfect, and you'll prove it once you present yourselves to him. We can prove that his will is good and acceptable and perfect. Say that with me. I'm going to tell you what you're going to say with me. All right. We're going to say the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's say that. The will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. Once more. The will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. That's what it says here, and that's the truth of God. It's good. The will of God for my life is far better than anything I could choose. And it is good and acceptable, and it is perfect. And we've learned to prove that, as it says, in our experiences when we present ourselves to God. Number 88 in the white books. Let's sing in closing this prayer. Sing it right to the Lord. Praise the Lord. And try to think about these things today as we'll continue, I trust, this evening a little bit or tomorrow with them. 88. My stubborn will at last has yielded. I would be thine and thine alone. And this the prayer my lips are bringing. Lord, let in me thy will be done. Sweet will. Still fold me closer till I am wholly lost in thee. Sweet will of God, still fold me closer till tired of sin, footsore and weary. The darksome path hath dreary grown. But now a light has risen to cheer me. I find in thee my star, my sun. Sweet will of God, still fold me closer till I am whole.
Still fold me closer till I am wholly lost in thee.
Verse 3. Let us read verse 3 together, thinking about the words. We're speaking right to the Savior together. Thy precious will, O conquering Savior, doth now embrace and compass me. All discords hushed, my peace a river, my soul a prisoned bird set free. Let's sing the last, shut in with thee, O Lord, forever.
Shut in with thee, O Lord, forever. My wayward feet no more to roam. What power from thee my soul can sever? The center of God's will, my home, sweet will of God, still fold me closer till I am wholly lost in thee, sweet will. Till I am wholly lost in thee.
Let's stand and sing that chorus once more. Sweet will of God, still fold me closer. Till I am wholly lost in thee, sweet will of God, still fold me closer till wholly lost in thee.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let us remember that on Wednesday morning we spend time in prayer, or the opportunity is given. It's a morning of prayer in the prayer room from now till the, I guess, till the first bell. Please feel free to come to pray there, join the group, and go when you must. Come as you can and go when you must. Back and forth is fine. Just let's keep this place as a house of prayer for this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May the Lord God bless us and work in us deeply and mightily according to the good pleasure of His will. Have Your way, O Lord. Touch our hearts today. Touch our hearts, Lord. Thank You for all You say to us. Let it sink down into our ears and then into our hearts, dear Lord, that we might be really wholly Yours. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for this morning. Thank You for Your wonderful word. Hallelujah. The promises and the challenges of Your word, let us accept them. Work in our hearts all day today, we pray, for Your name's sake and for Your glory. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.